The Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Jay, from LA, coming to you live from season number 6. Today is June the 25th, 2018. We have a live show for you on this Monday, and so please to do that at any time. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, which I would encourage you to do, which I hope that you will do, you can give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to express your overall views. Definitely would love to hear from that from you, because a dialogue is much more important than a monologue, okay? Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. You could do that by making a donation at www.blacktalkradionetwork or by becoming a member inside of this social media outlet that you've heard in the overall pre-show announcements. And for only $24 a year, you can be a part of the social media platform that you can actually support this network. So please do that for only $24 a year, and that will support this network. And then you can become a member inside of this social media, where you can engage in all of your social media activities that you would otherwise not be able to do. You can promote yourself, your business, and other things that you think are important. Just do that there at BTR Community. And you can find it at www.btrcommunity. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals business that, where you may not be paid as a king or a queen or as a lady and a gentleman, but you definitely can save, and you don't want to be saving as a slave. And all slaves save in currency, which is a debt instrument. It's not money. So please, definitely do what's in your best interest for you to have assets, because assets are critical for you moving forward. And you individually, your family, and the overall community at large. Very, very, very important for that to happen. Okay? So definitely you could do that there. And make sure you hit, before you purchase, make sure you go to For Prosperity Mint. You make sure you email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com, before you make your purchase, because there's some information that you need to be given that will give you, make sure that you have the right overall buying process, understand the process, and it's for your benefit. Will not be used for any form of anything else other than, anything other than making sure that you're structured correctly and know what it is that you're doing, okay? So please definitely do that with Prosperity Mint. All right, so one second. Get situated here. And we're going to jump into today's show. In today's show, we're going to jump into today's show. Okay, cool, it worked. Today's show is The Real Dangers in Fans. And that's today's show. Very, very important. As you all know, the word fan is the abbreviation for the word fanatic. Very, very important. So we're going to jump into that for today and Monday, the 25th. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. All right, so we're going to jump into what's in the news. I don't know if you all saw this, and this goes right along with the fanship thing. I posted a YouTube video of a baptism. A young child was given a baptism, and the priest that was performing the ceremony became upset that the baby was screaming, and so the priest actually smacks the baby, and it. And, you know, when I looked at that video, I don't know if you've seen, for those of you who may not, let me see if I can put this inside of.
Hey, Dave, is that the video you posted of, I don't know if it was you, he was dunking the little baby in, like, this big bowl of water, some kind of thing that was inside the church. Is that the video? He had him by his arms?
Yeah, Scotty, I didn't see that one, Scotty.
And it had the little children in the background looking on.
That may have been the beginning, but this is where the priest smacks the baby.
No, I didn't see him smack the baby, but he was strenuously dunking this baby in this water several times, and the little children was watching him do this in horror. I mean, you could see the terror in the little kids' faces. They're about 5 or 6 years old as they watched this baby be abused.
Yeah, I'm gonna post it inside of the chat room. I just posted it inside of the chat room. Yeah. Strategic Mouse says, "Oh my God, what a psycho!" Yes, he needs a smackdown. Yeah, definitely. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts, and it was disturbing. It has a lot to do with some of the things that's going on. So we're definitely going to take a look at that. And before we get started, let me just say this. I want to say big ups. Yeah, right, Scotty. We're going to go over all of that. So hopefully you all get a chance to see it. I know my sister Strategic Melanin saw it, and she was like, it's just appalling when you see it. And before we get started, I just want to say big ups to my man across the pond that has been actually sending me some articles to put in what's in the news. I'm definitely going to do that. Today I wasn't able to do it. I was kind of busy, and I just want to say big ups to my man TK that's across the pond, sent me a bunch of articles. TK, I definitely will post some of those. I greatly, greatly appreciate you. All right, so second, let me get back into lost my place. All right, so check out that YouTube video, and we're going to talk about that in today's show. Next article I got from Wired. China escalates hacking against the U.S. as trade tensions rise. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say this real quickly. And I'm going to wait till we get into the show before I do that, okay? So check out that article. It is a precursor to what's going to be happening and what some of the real credible threats are going to be that you need to be prepared for. This is not going to go away. It is only going to continue to expand its overall reach and depth within our community, and it is going to be something that is definitely going to be something that is going to be an adverse condition in our that will definitely have very, very telling effects on our community, our families, and in us individually. So check out that article. Next article, I got this one from U.S. News. No guarantees the transatlantic alliance will survive. The Secretary General of NATO said bonds between Europe and North America, the U.S., have weakened. And he appeared. Here we go. And he appealed for international efforts to shore up the transatlantic military alliance. So one of the things that I was saying that some of the precursors or some of the benchmarks that you're going to see was the reunification of North Korea and NATO breaking up. That is going to be a part of the overall World War III that's turning into global nuclear war that is going to be happening, is unfolding as we speak. And here it is. It's already starting. The trend is very, very easy to see. And once you see it, once you know it, the appropriate response is to prepare for that. So check out that, and this is going to be somewhat a part of today's show. Next article from Sputnik News. Russian MOD, Syrian Army, FSA repels attack in South de-escalation zone. Basically, Syria has now been in the de-escalation zone where the U.S. is, and there is actually firefights between the U.S., unreported, unconfirmed firefighting between the Syrian military and the U.S., where the Syrians are now starting to develop on the U.S. bases as there, which should not be there at all. They have every right to use every tactic from diplomacy to military action against the U.S. because they have no legal standing there. They should not be there. They are invading. They should be pushed out from their own system of global governance. The rest of the world should not allow and should move against the U.S. for taking such actions. So this is nothing more than colonization, and so this is going to be one of the stepping stones or one of the launch pads or one of the prongs in World War III expanding itself to where it will be in your home. World War III is coming to your home. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Reuters. Pentagon eyes temporary camp for immigrants at two bases. The U.S. military is preparing to build temporary camps at two military bases to house immigrants. The celebrity figurehead Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis said on Sunday, yesterday. In the latest sign of a growing U.S. military support role for celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's politically charged immigration policies. Very, very important. That will be a part of today's show as well. Next article from Sputnik News. Macron threatens sanctions against EU states that turn migrants away. According to the French president's financial sanctions should be introduced against EU members that refuse migrants and have proven So check out that article.
Hey, next Dave, article, real quick
it
on
comes
that.
From, man, I can't see this. What was that, Dave, Scotty?
Before you move on, I was watching a video today, this was on an African-based YouTube channel, and they were talking about Macron saying that we're going to establish migrant centers in Europe or whatever to give people asylum that, quote-unquote, deserve asylum. But at no time, again, people want to complain about the mass movement of these refugees, but nobody's pointing out, as Macron ain't pointed out, that his predecessor is a reason for that migration after what they did to Libya.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right, Scotty. There's a reason for the migration, and it is intentional. And it is intentional. We're definitely going to take a look at that. I think it's critical because it is really telling some of the things that's going to be happening to you and everyone here. And it's very, very important that we are aware of that so that we can take the appropriate measures to protect ourselves. Next article this one comes from, let me move this down, from Stephen Liebman. Trump again calls North Korea a nuclear threat just after during the so-called meeting between him and Kim Jong-un. He said that they're not a threat anymore. Then now all of a sudden he says, oh, they're still a nuclear threat and everything else. So check out that article. It's all part of the ploy to get where the system wants to definitely start the depopulation by way of war, massive global war. Check out that article. Next article from express.co.uk. Hawaii's volcanoes erupt. Lava blasts from more fissures are and brush fires are sparked. So check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Assad says the U.S. after pretext for intervention into Syria. Celebrity figurehead President Assad said the U.S. after pretense for intervention in Syria said that the United States is using the issue of chemical weapons as a pretense to carry out attacks against the Syrian army. Check out that article. Yes, proven true. Without a doubt. Next article from Bloomberg. From Bloomberg. U.S. plans curbs on Chinese investment, citing security risk. The Treasury Department is planning to heighten security of Chinese investments. Check out that article. Next article. Last article I got from the Wall Street Journal. China's Jinping tells CEOs he will strike back at the U.S. The celebrity figurehead president of China is responding to celebrity figurehead President of the United States administration trade class escalations with a bare knuckle approach that makes a bruising fight more likely. And that bruising fight is a war, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what's in the news. And we're going to jump into today's show. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Okay. So, let me get situated here, and let me jump back. I think we have someone in queue. We got a caller in queue. It's my man Mel out of Oklahoma. What's up, Mel? What's going on? What say you?
Peace, brother. Peace, peace.
Peace. What's going on, bro?
Man, just already a great show. I just wanted to, as far as the children, the youth that they keeping in cages like dogs at the border, and all of these citizens of this corporation, it's like we just la-di-da. No problem. It's not affecting us.
Yeah.
That bothers me. But nobody is talking about the thousands of children that are missing in D.C., across this country. What about our own citizens? Well, let me retract that. Nah, I didn't mean to say that. That was bad.
But make your point. We understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What about our baby? Nobody's crying out for us. And then I want to, before I mute my line, I want to speak to the family. The Tando family, the Black Talk Radio family, shame on us. And I mean that. Shame on us. We are out of frustration. We are the goddess, that priest, that smacked the baby out of frustration. That baby crying. See why that baby's crying. Why are we fussing and fighting and you gonna smack the baby because he's crying? Fix the problem. Don't, man, look, man, I'm frustrated already. I don't wanna go, I ain't gonna even change the dynamic of the show. I'm gonna leave it at that. Yo, come on, man. Come on, man. We gotta figure this out, man. We gotta be able to disagree and agree to disagree. Don't smack the baby. The baby don't agree with you dunking him in that bowl. You know what I mean? The baby don't want to be dunked in that bowl. Let's come on, man. Let's love, man. We got too many problems to solve to be on some BS beefing. It's, mute my line, man.
Okay, well said, my brother. And always, it's funny how the events that we're seeing globally. And one of the you have to give it to the system on this front. The system works off of time and space, and it continuously works its apparatus to get us desensitized, to get us to where we have no empathy, to get us to where we are in a state of trying to make it just ourselves and to disjoint ourselves from one another, which is very, very powerful. It's very easy to beat the masses once you're able to get the masses to surrender or to fight a facade or to engage their energy in something that is not existent, that is not real. Then what happens is that our overall abilities and our talents are insufficient to the overall appearance of something, because we are throwing our talents into the wasteland. And instead, what we should be doing is looking at things as a collective whole. One second, everyone. I got to take this call. One second.
What?
Sorry about that, you all. So, very, very keen what the system does, and it gets us to put ourselves as the agent of the agenda that we don't even know has been set forth to our disadvantage. We actually momentumize and we actually give energy to our own demise. And this isn't done in one community, it's done in all communities. This is not done in one area of the world, it's done globally. It's not done with one person, it's done with the masses. Not everyone buys into it, not everyone participates in it as much as others, but if you're born into this system, you're born into a civilized world. And once you create a civilized world, what you're really creating is an organized barbaric paradigm, realm. And because we're so used to it, because it's the only thing that we've ever known, because it's what we were taught and what we were domesticated and coerced into accepting as the way things are, that's just the way it is. The truth. And now we give energy to it, and now it lives, and it becomes a reality. You know, reality is the danger that is before you. That's reality. sometimes we have to be more than just realistic. We have to invest in hope. And what I mean by that is that reality is, yes, this adverse condition is right here before us, but we can't focus all of our energy on that. What we have to do is also be able to put ourselves in a position of advantage by not giving so much energy to it, but actually seeing through it and past it and beyond it to where we want to go. Then the overall facade monster doesn't have a stage to perform in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits and in our relationships and in our development and into our future and into our habits. If we can look past that, and with the overall understanding that we need to be looking at things 100, 200, 300, and 400 years from now, the overall reality of the threat or the danger that's before us, it loses its bite. It loses its stronghold. It loses its influence. It loses its standing. Because the energy now takes away from it, and it returns to what it is, just a facade. The way we'll say, that really wasn't a problem because I wasn't feeding into it, wasn't creating it. I wasn't giving it life. I wasn't giving it standing. I wasn't giving it existence. It's very, very important. And when you take a look at this video that we posted about this priest, and one of the key things that this society does is that it, through subjugation and enslavement, what it will do is this. It will create another universe within the universe. It will create another earth within the earth. It will create another living conditions in the environments for sustainability. It will create an imitation of what the great creator had given by choice. I mean, shoot, by real love and benevolence. And they'll imitate it and give you something, but it'll be just the opposite. It'll appear to be something, but it will never be that at all. And today's show is about fans. And I want to talk about being a fan.
Hey, Dave, before you go into it.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I just wanted to real quick, because I'm going to have to step away for a second, but I'm here. You know I'm here in the background and what have you. But I just wanted to thank Mel for his comments, and I could hear the empathy and that frustration, because you don't get frustrated unless you have sincere concern and love in your heart, okay? And I just want to offer him words of encouragement. You know, the mainstream media is only focusing on what's going on with those babies because they're going to make it a political issue. And so, you know, they're running. It's all political. The situation that these people are fleeing from is real. But the reason they're getting so much attention right now is it has to do with politics. They don't really care about them children. That's not why they're showing it and what have you, or else they'll be going more in depth and showing you why they're leaving. And the United States is responsible for that. I just got through making a video about that. But your concern for the missing children is going on. You know, and I think I even said this to Dave on Tando, you know, while I am looking at what's going on with these refugee children, at the same time, just last week or a couple of weeks ago, Dominique Wilkins, why do I keep saying Dominique Wilkins? That's a basketball player. Dominique Mitchell, who spent 4 years in the Texas Department of so-called Justice, just came out as a whistleblower a couple of weeks ago, and I shared that video talking about how they beating these children and not feeding these children in those youth detention facilities in Texas. Why that ain't on CNN? Why that ain't on MSNBC? Why aren't we making that story go viral? I can only share it so many times. But also, yeah, there are independent people. There's Black and Missing. They have a foundation. There's some other people that Peas in a Pod is another organization I've known about a long time. They have YouTube, social media accounts, and what have you, where they send out what's known as the RILA alert. What's the other alert? What do they call that other alert when a child goes missing?
The Amber.
Well, they name theirs RILA after a Black girl, because the mainstream media don't give our children or non-white children the same attention. Not that I don't care about other children being missing. So, you know, over the past week, I've been retweeting some of the things they sent out about missing children, missing teenagers, missing elderly, and what have you. So there are people who do care and who are putting in the work. They just don't get the attention as the mainstream media. So we had to detach ourselves and not expect the mainstream media to give us, you know, the attention we deserve, or give that issue that's important to us the attention that we, because the mainstream media is part of the state. It's part of the fascist corporate state of America. Okay? And so we can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. We can care about a multitude of issues. And Dave, I'm gonna say this though. I believe in planning for the future. But like the scriptures say, there's a sufficient evil of the day for you to concern yourself with, and that people have to deal with, and what have you. So, yeah, you always got to plan. Me and my mom was talking about planning today. You know, we were talking about things we talked about on Tando, and I was telling her, I got to get some more seeds. And because, you know, anything could happen, and we may not be able to go to the grocery store or whatnot and what have you. Mm-hmm. So, but again, we got our day-to-day issues we got to deal with too. You know what I'm saying? So I believe in planning for the future.
Without a doubt, Scotty.
Yeah, I believe in planning for the future, but there are things we got to be aware of that could sneak up, that we don't want sneaking up on us in today. You know what I'm saying? So again, Mel, thank you, man. Don't worry. People are not going to always agree. And, you know, there are people that attack you for no reason at all, because that's what's in them. All right. And then it also goes back to fanaticism, when people think that you shouldn't be, look at yourself as part of humanity as a whole. And I think that's what you meant, Dave, that we don't see ourselves as part of humanity, but we only looking at our own group and only worried about our own group, and we don't see how we fit into a bigger picture. That's all I wanted to share, Dave. But thank you, Mel. I felt your passion, man. I know I can tell you got a heart to care, but, you know, just stay strong, man. You know, work on those issues yourself. Work on those issues yourself that you don't see other people working on.
And Scotty, that's exactly what the show is. And you're right, the evil of the day. And we're going to address that. And I'm going to give just my opinion about how do we bring this all to a collective head. Because if we don't, then we will continue to have the confusion, the division, the poverty. The werewolf will continue to consume us, and will consume us on all levels, because the insatiable appetite that the werewolf has can never be satisfied, because it's never enough. And until we become the silver bullet to it all, the werewolf will continue to devour. And that devouring werewolf strikes great fear in people, and it causes them to be paralyzed. And that is a situation that can never be remedied other than those that are paralyzed willing to do something, use their overall ability. So we're going to be definitely take a look at that. And
I want to really emphasize a couple of things here. And Scotty was actually hit the nail on the head. What I was saying with the fans is that we identify ourselves with untruths. You know, I heard about, and you've heard about, radical Islam and how that's a threat. Well, let me just say this. Radical Islam is no more of a threat than the overall historical radicalism of all of the religious groups, from Christians to any other ones, to Satanists, which is a religious group, the cults, to Judaism, to all of the religions. See, the system is about separating. And I want to show you, give you and talk about this, and I want you to just to think about this. And I want you to think about this from a standpoint that we all can identify with. You as parents and you as adults. Growing up, you were either played sports or you knew about sports by someone in your home or someone that you were close to in your family, or it may have been you, or you as a parent with your child playing sports. And when you watch sports, whatever your favorite sport happens to be, whatever your fancy is, from baseball to basketball to football and everything else, we don't look at these things as what their true intentions are. We look at them from what we like about it. And that's a very dangerous thing, because poison can always be made sweet to the taste and still will have the deadly effect. The overall sweetness of poison will not give you any form of immunity to its adverse effect of destroying and breaking down the body into ultimately killing and bring about death and destruction. Poison is still poison, regardless of the glass it's put in. And we don't look at sports as itself. We may say, you know, we hear a lot about sports doing so well for people. Did it really do well for people? And I will tell you, no. It is actually one of the things to develop fanaticism, because in developing fanaticism, what you're able to do is you're able to divide people so that they will go into different groups of what that individual temptations are. Some people their temptation is anger. Some people is fear. Some people is maliciousness. Some people is this. Some people is that. There's a group for everyone in this world. But what is not being grouping is our collective interest. And when you were growing up as a child or as a parent, we were taught to be a part of sports, and we were lied to as what the real intentions of sports is. The real intention of sports is this: for you to play by the rules that's set forth, and for you to develop fanaticism within your life. And then that will actually cross-pollinate into other things outside of entertainment. It will actually pollinate into your moral convictions, which you have your moral absolutes. It will actually develop into your professional realm, into your vocational realm. Everything will be about competition and division. Think about your sport teams as you were growing up. They were identified by members, colors, talent, and the most important thing, an adversary. And who was that adversary? Another human existent living species. And we carried banners. We yelled, we screamed, and didn't realize what their overall psychological and social being placed in us that was going against what was natural
and us all from the ecosystem. So we have teams. How many times have you gone to teams? How many times have you played sports and you've seen some parent that was an overjealous parent that's ready to fight the referee or whoever was calling the game or whatever, or even fight the other members, even to the point of fighting children that their children were playing against. And you think that that's not intentional. It's very much so. It indoctrinates everyone to desensitize themselves from sovereignty and self-preservation. And it makes them aware of and it plays off after sports of children. It plays off into our overall everyday lives. It plays off religiously. Some people are Christian, some people are Muslim, some people are here. But have you looked at the organizations of the institutions of that so-called religion? Not saying that all of the people within any religion is wrong, but I'm talking about the institutions. What is the system using those institutions for? How can you have radical Islam and not have radicalized Christians and radicalized Jews and radicalized this and radicalized that? Because you do. History has proven and shown what the true intentions of the system is. We just ignore it because of confusion. We've been so afraid to not be in a group. We've been so afraid to stand alone. Watch this video of this priest performing a religious ritual. And if you watch this priest, he actually looks, and there's a form of demonic evil that overtakes him. And he gave me the appearance that he wanted to not only smack the baby, he wanted to eat the baby. Even though the parents, I think it was the stepfather, I'm not quite sure who they said the individual was, the father figure, or if he was the baby's father or not, before he finally snatched the baby from them, everyone watched in horror as this authority through a religion was allowed to abuse this child. From kissing the child into smacking the child. And after smacking the child, wanting to kiss it and everything else. And then didn't want to let the child go. What is this significant of? It's significant of our society. And what was so important about this is that in our society, who's who? And I'm going to tell you, in our society, let me just say this real quickly before I say that. The mother stood there the whole time, looked around, didn't intervene. The gentleman finally couldn't take it anymore. It's like, yo, what is going on? What is this reason? And then there was a church member or someone in the church, authority member in the church, that went over and just touched the priest as he's physically assaulting this child, and they realize that he's lost it. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're in the seat of absolute power, it will absolutely corrupt you through and through. In all forms and fashions. Doesn't matter what your color is. Doesn't matter how you were raised. If you are given or you have the overall desire to be recognized as an authority figure from this societal power, your moral absolute and your moral compass will make a hard right turn away from, a hard left turn away from the original intentions of the great creator. 100%. Undeniably, it will happen. At what pace is to be determined. So during this whole time, this mother is sitting there. She's in shock, but she didn't want to go against the priest's authority, even to the point of it harming the child. And I would say, when we look at this, when we really look at this, who does the priest represent? Who does the child represent in our society? Who do the parents represent? And who does the overall person that was there that touched the priest from the church? I would say that probably one of the members of the church. Who does that individual, who does she represent? And who does the overall church itself represent? Well, the church itself represents the true intention. The true intentions of to make you believe. And once the system knows, after it has indoctrinated you, such a child, to be a fan and be a fanatic, once they get you to believe in something, how many fans do you know of sports teams that are willing to fight for their overall team? We'll get in an argument. We'll get into a physical confrontation. How many fans do you know of a country that's willing to go to war to kill another? How many people and fans of a religious organization do you know that's willing to defend that overall religion with their life and with a sword and everything else? That is fanaticism. It's been taught that, and it's accepted in every space, in every place on this planet, in the society. Not within the ecosystem, no. Just within our overall social structure. Just within our social structure. And I'm going to tell you, the priest represents the people, the fans. The child represents what this overall system realizes that they have to, through force and fear, have to get that child to surrender forevermore and at the earliest opportunity to the system. And the overall person from the church that touched him represented the overall government authority that just says, calm down, don't worry, we'll take care of this. Don't think, well, we got this and everything else. We'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you. This is a classic representation of how we live our lives now. We live our lives identifying ourselves by facades, through radical fanaticism instead of the spirit of truth. And we all do it. I've done it for years. I didn't know what was, why it didn't sit right with my spirit. I knew something was wrong. I always say, what the hell are you doing, David? Then I finally started to question it even more. And that question became a reality of my life that I needed to alter. and fanaticism, becoming a fan, doesn't just consume us in sports. It consumes us in the neighborhoods, in the social structure, and the schooling structuring. Everywhere you look is fans, 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 and we're billboards for everything fanatic. None of it's natural. And this schooling has to be broken. Because the overall intentions is to get you to compete at all costs and to destroy your overall adversary to be accepted as a champion by the system. The system gives the trophies. The system gives the rings. The system gives it the rewards. The system pays all of the slaves. And they pay them in debt. And I'm saying this because this is all being done because the system plans on having a major, major depopulation. And we're all falling right into it. There will be a civil war within the homes, within the neighborhoods, within the states, within the countries, within the nations. Because the overall call for competition is going to be trumpeted so loud that all that have been placed under that spell will immediately react to how they're personally wired. And we will be competing for everything and collaborating on nothing. And this will maintain the overall control that the system has over us to never be broken. Thing is to everything. Is in how we speak to each other. Is how we react to each other. It's in our intentions. And this fanaticism, where's the colors of sports? Where's the colors of national interest? Look at it. It's very easy to see. Social structure, economic structure is everywhere. And we all have to pledge allegiance to it, and we all do it so willingly. How many frats and fraternities are there? It's fanaticism. You may get mad and say, well, that's not what our intention, but still the fact of the matter is you're still a fan. And many will be willing to defend that with aggression. It's not collective. Yes, it's collective among a certain group, but it's not collective when the great creator gave an apple tree. It didn't give an apple tree just for this group of people. The apple tree was given for all that could partake. A man has taught you to be fans and has schooled us to be fanatics. This one's a Democrat, that one's a Republic, this is an independent, this one is an atheist, this one is this one is that. They've grouped it so well and they've tuned it so well that they got a poison for every taste. And we give it to our children. And worst of all, we give it to ourselves daily. When someone says, who are you? Most people identify themselves from fanaticism, not from the spirit. And that just shows the stronghold and the threat that's before us. And we're going to have to. If we ever plan on really getting to where we need to be, has to be addressed. It has to be addressed appropriately. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I want to take this in another direction, and I want to give what I think the solution is. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
No, it really isn't. Because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice, except you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are or how tall you are or who your cousin was or anything like that or what so-called nationality you have, like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag if you don't believe in not mistreating people. You've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
We can't hear you, Dave.
Thank you, Scotty. Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And would love to hear from you. Going to open it up in a second. I didn't want to read too many articles. Wanted to just to talk to you all and to engage in an opportunity to reflect, an opportunity to build, an opportunity to seed and make an investment that will be a beneficial good to us all and to those that we've yet not named. So just before we left, we were talking about fanaticism, being a fan, and how destructive that really is. It's a training tool to keep us obeying the rules. And the rules are what? Societal rules. The law of the land, which has never been spiritually based and spiritually correct. It has always been dominion-based and controlled was its objective.
when I look at, because it's put in front of you in mainstream media, because mainstream media has a agenda to propagandize and to create the overall environment with the methods, and so that the objective of the system of subjugation will never ever be threatened or even be contested. Because the system doesn't want to be contested, because it realizes how little power it has. It only has the power of the individuals that are there. But they've created a stronghold through the influence of those that they don't have full control over. It's the surrendering of control by the masses that give the system power. When we surrender to the system now is able to magnify and take that and collect that overall energy giving sustainable force, and to create a life that is extremely strong. And it lives prosperously. And in the mainstream media is there for one thing and one thing only: to tell you what to think. And it gives all different things for the overall characteristics and the overall taste and the temptations of people. It will tell this person that you like Trump, and tell this person you like that person. You like the Yankees. You like this, and you'll be willing to die for France. You'll be willing to kill for North Korea. You'll be willing to do this. And whoever fits that fancy, you're just going to do this. You're going to meditate all day. You're going to do yoga. You're going to do this. And it gives out with all of the things that it tells and fits the fancies for everybody. But what it always tells is that you're going to obey. And it waits for your response, not from what proceeds from your mouth, but by your actions. And we pledge our allegiance. And one of the things that you can really see it is in this migration thing. And Mel talked about, what about our young people that are missing? There are so many things that are happening that is not just one thing. And there are many people that are engaging in different things that we don't even know about. But the overall the system is able to get away and have the stronghold as it has because it has agreement. There's an agreement, a contract among those that benefit from all of the destruction. And because there's a collective prudence that they work by, and they actually execute their free will collectively together to maintain this overall subjugated situation, until there's more energy or more resistance or more agreement or more collective prudence against what they view, they have the monopoly of power. There is no challenge. One of the ways you can really see it very prevalent is in this migration thing that's in the news. And I say that because I wanted to it's not the only thing that I care about. But I'm going to use that because it's really a good training exercise to the obvious that's not so apparent to us all. These detention centers that are being used, and it's in the news because they plan on putting you in that detention center in that as well. And it doesn't matter what fan you are, what team you represent. The white team, the black team. In those detention centers, they'll have the white team sits here, the black team sits there. The Yankees sit over here, the Dodgers sit way over there. In their detention centers,
in their internment, they've got a place for every fan, and they'll tell you where to sit. Because they plan on putting everybody in it. Reason being is because they already have everybody there. We just don't see it. Because it's not apparent to us, because we refuse to see the obvious. We have to wait for the system to tell us what to think. And it will tell us what to think from a standpoint of you being a Yankee fan or you being a Republican. This is what the Republicans think, and this is what the Republicans do, and this is what the Democrats do. And we follow that to a T, where we'll defend it with violence against someone else. The violence of words, the violence of attack. Because we're doing what we're supposed to do. So we think. When you look at this immigration and this migrant, it's really the overall, it's a good example of the system. These people are being placed into detention centers because they've entered a country illegally. A country that doesn't exist. A border that is only on paper. A border that can only be defined as a demarcation line by a decree, by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. And whenever you defy the spirit of the law in upholding the letter of the law, you become willfully insane. Because you're going to be following something that doesn't exist. And you're going to be expecting results that you'll never get. And you'll keep waiting for those results and continue to obey. As you heard me say before, it was the last time you've been on the plane and you ever looked out the plane. What you see outside of the window of the plane, you can see what the great creator made is not one border that you can determine. You may be able to see the overall, the topography of the landscape and everything else, but you'll see no borders. You may recognize from the topography where the borders of laws have stipulated where everything is. And that shows how conditioned we are. Because immediately we put into, that's the United States. That's England. That's Canada. That's Japan. There is no such thing. But it is readily available and true in subjugation and enslavement. And because we uphold these things, we expect some form of liberty when you upholding something that actually seizes your sovereignty and self-determination, and we become insane and crazy to continue to participate and expect one day you'll get liberty. It can't provide it because it's not what his intentions is. His intentions is to intern. It is to detain. It is to arrest. And it is to have those overall arrests that are going to be facilitated by fans. We've disjoined ourselves from the spirit of the law. And we created, and we're willing to defend, as Jewish, as Christian, and as Muslim, and all the other dividing things, what it is that we want to have and what we want to gain from the systematic paradigm of subjugation and enslavement. As long as it's giving me what I want, I don't care.
And what we've created, what the system was able to create, was the enforcers of its stability by the ones that it consumes daily. We are the tumor. We are the cancer. And we're growing and consuming ourselves to death. And we're going to be stuck here for a long time because we just can't figure it out. Many of us will be stuck here for the rest of our lives because we just can't figure it out. And the only way that we're really going to be able to break this is we have to figure it out. We have to figure out the obvious and stop ignoring the obvious. And what is obvious? Here's what's obvious. The obvious is this. If you continue to participate in the system, it will remain healthy. If we continue to give our energy to it, it will accept it. And the one thing about energy is just kind of like a car. If you keep using up the gas, the tank will go empty. And the car won't move anymore. It's no longer fueled. We keep giving our fuel of our prosperity and our sovereignty and self-determination away. By becoming fans. This is how we do it in the United States, because you're a fan of the United States. Oh, they told you that you were so-called born in the United States. Because let me tell you something. That was by the letter of the law, and that's not the truth. That's a facade. But if you accept that, you're going to have to accept everything else that goes along with that. Most people say, I do. I will. Then they'll tell you what battle you need to be fighting. Well, you're black, so you need to be fighting this one. You're white. This is the one that you should be fighting for. And this is and they'll give you all of the dividing factors that you should be representing. They'll give you your colors. They'll give you your team. They'll give you your teammates. And they'll give you your your objective to win. And they'll put you on the field. And they'll tell you what the rules are. And the rules are always going to be stipulated this way. Here it is. We create the laws that we don't have to obey. You do. We create debt that you have to pay. We don't. We declare wars that we don't have to fight. You do. And you will do it. And you will demand that every person around you think just like you. You'll demand that every person around you be either for you or against you. You'll demand that every person wear the same colors as you, have the same ideas of you, have the same method and the same objective as you. And when they don't, utterly destroy them. That's the rules of the game. And until we realize that, if we play that game, I'm enslaving myself, I'm subjugating myself, I'm surrendering my sovereignty, I'm losing my prosperity, I'm squandering my talents and abilities, and more importantly, I'm destroying an opportunity to grow collectively with people that I should be in good relations with, instead of creating that adversarial one. How do we do it? We have to just stop participating. It may sound crazy, because we are. The crazy people always do think the most sane method is nuts.
if we don't, tomorrow will be like yesterday and 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 1,000 years ago. Everything will remain the same. Nothing will change. They tell you that change is constant. That is a lie. Change is not consistent until you make it. Until you stop doing something, until you do something different than what you did yesterday. Getting traded to another team is not a change. Or asking to be traded to another team. I don't like the Yankees no more. I want to go play for the Dodgers. It's not a change. Still play by the rules. The only way to end this is to go back to the spirit of the law. But there was no borders. There was no civilized society, which is really wild and infirmed thinking. It was collective prudence. Because that type of energy, that type of mentality looks at things from a different perspective, from a different paradigm. It looks at it from things from a paradigm and a perspective of how do I get to a solution to what's really ailing us? And it knows what the overall problem is. It can identify. We don't have the ability to identify what the real problem is. And when we don't, and we're not able to identify what the real problem is, then what meaningful solution will ever be applied? It will just be a shot in the dark. And what will we do? We're creatures of habit. We'll just do what we did before in the past. Absolutely nothing. So when we talk about all of the ills of this world, the world will try to have you to run around and fight this and fight that, because it realizes that you're fighting a battle that you won't be able to win, because the momentum is greater than what you are, because you'll never look at it from a collective standpoint. How do you defeat this whole system? It's very easy. You don't participate. You no longer give it your energy. You know, in sports, they have holdouts. Contractual holdouts. Well, what I'm saying is that we contractually quit. We contractually say I'm retiring from all of this nonsense, from all of this, from all of these lies, from all of this deception. Doesn't matter what's going to happen once I retire. I'll deal with that collectively with the rest of the world and all of those other retirees that decide to do it. I'll deal with it collectively with them. I think we're going to be all right. You know what the truth is, ladies and gentlemen? That would definitely be the case. Until we decide that everything that we were taught was completely wrong, and until we realize that in order for us to change this, we have to walk away from this completely and start anew. And start anew not with the same mentality. Start anew with a fresh essence. And I'm going to tell you, not one person here that could be a part of it. The only thing that we really can do is to make the commitment first to retire. And then after, those that have never grown up under this system could never know it. And if they never know it, they'll never engage in it. They'll never be tempted by it. They'll never have an identity to it. They'll never have been tainted by it. They'll never be infirmed by it. If we really do want what we say we hate so much, would have to be willing to give up everything here. And even if we don't see the meaningful benefit of it, because we've been thoroughly infested by this, we need to first quarantine ourselves. We need to admit it, then quit it. Once we admit it, there's an honesty about what the real solution and the outcome of and the cost of that is going to be. And then we can quit it. I know me, myself. Because of everything that I've learned and everything that I've been exposed to, the most beneficial thing for me to do is for me to first deal with the priority that's refusing to participate. And if I refuse to participate, and from that refusal to participate, we can start a new trend, a new direction. And then the overall collective agenda can be set forth by those that never knew this set, haven't been tainted by it. Because I know, you should know too, that some people will just go on a diet from this system. They'll feel famished. They'll feel as if they have to go back to the habit. I was so addicted, I know it was, but I couldn't help myself will be the excuse that will always be used. I call it the addiction and diet habit. We have to be able to realize that it's worth it to lose it all. Yes, to lose it all, to seed forward something greater than ourselves. And that's the reason why we may be stuck here for a very long time. Because until we collectively make that decision, and you can do it individually, yes. But how you were created and the purpose of your creation, even though you were created individually, was not for an individual purpose. It was for the purpose of the species. And that species is not just the human species. That species is truly, truly something that never gets talked about. That's the living species. Everything that lives is a part of you. You are a part of it. There's a common denominator that is essential to maintaining that same direction that was given to you, not created by you. So I hope that we won't be stuck here. Across the globe, that's your enemy. It's the mentality and the acceptance of playing by the rules that's your biggest threat. That's the danger. And that danger is, the ramifications of that danger is so great that you have to stop it. And The greatest thing that we can do in stopping it is individually and collectively deciding that we won't participate anymore. Make no deal, make no compromise, be not there for negotiation, to say I'm done. And not done to where you say that I'm done because it's out of frustration, out of hate, and out of fanaticism in any kind. Just that I'm done because I want to create something more. I want to create something sustainable. I want to create something that's going to be prosperous. I want to be a part of something or to start the overall movement to something that's substantially beneficial and benevolent. I'm no longer tempted by the mess. Doesn't it? I no longer want to be a part of that entertainment. I don't no longer want to be entertained by that. I no longer want to be entertaining or to be the entertainer. Just don't want to engage in it anymore. It's the only way, because there is no political solution to a moral problem. And once we do that, you will see the threats will be, so many things will be used to get everybody back in line. And that will show you just how vulnerable the system really is. So, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, if there's any comments or questions that you have, if you'd like to chime in, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
As they should be in Vietnam, then black people over here will have to, you know, like, be in a position where they can defend themselves. Because I think that aggression that's being directed against the Vietnamese people will be turned inwardly against black people in this country. See, America, in terms of where she goes and, you know, like, who she controls, her whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like, Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable and that, you know, like General Steele, or USS Steele, must make steel for tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs to, so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
To abandon... Radio.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Give up on my way.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, now's a good time. We're going to open up the phone line, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. You know, what I'm talking about is not popular. Because of the fanaticism that's been so prevalent in our lives, we want to create teams. And that team is to compete and to fight. And that's not a solution. Never has been. It's been used so many times
four. One second. Yes, I'm going to go to the caller. It just doesn't work. Let's go to the caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Wagwan, Brother Dave. This is Brother TK. How are you doing?
Brother TK, how are you?
Very well. I just wanted to call in and excellent astute observations across the board. And I just wanted to basically talk about weaponized anthropology, which is going on specifically in Africa, what's happening in Africa right
now. Yes, go ahead, TK.
So what they're basically doing is they're using weaponized anthropology, the three things that they basically use to destabilize any country or to create any basic chaos is anthropology, sociology, and psychology. But specifically in the case of anthropology, we've seen in the last past week in Mali, in Nigeria, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Ethiopia, ethnic clashes basically intensifying because they're using weaponized psychology to basically create these conflicts and basically have these people, you know, like you were mentioning with regards to fanaticism and picking a team and interjecting this religious relativism and this cultural relativism to basically intensify these things. Because they bought, basically, when they are doing that, they're using peacekeeping, or they're basically using these ethnic clashes and using peacekeeping as a pretext to come in there. And when they usually mean peacekeeping, they basically actually, that's just a fancy way of them basically saying colonial reinforcement. Like, you know, with regards to Mali. With regards to Mali, you know, the French basically still want to have that kind of control. And basically the United States is specifically pissed off that China has regional control over Ethiopia and Djibouti. So they're trying to do anything they can to basically destabilize those areas.
Brother TK, and that is what is used globally. That's one of the swords and one of the tools that this system uses, and you're absolutely right. And it's critical that we know, and it's critical that we decide, are we really going to present a solution to it all? Or are we just going to allow the system to run rampant until it runs us over? And then once it runs us over, first thing that we'll say is that nobody came to our aid. No one helped us. No one. And I think it's, I'm glad that you called in, TK, because if we continue to use this same consciousness that created the problem, then the overall consciousness that created the problem is dictating the future. We're going to have to think anew. We can't use that same energy. And once we use a different energy, we can create a different true reality. And TK, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead. You were going to chime back in.
Oh, no, I was just saying exactly what's going on here is, you know, the dichotomy basically when you have a team is that, you know, you're loyal to the team, you have a certain moral, you know, code of conduct towards your team, but anyone else, basically, it's fair game. You can do whatever you want to those other people. That's not on your team. And that basically breaks the spirit of that benevolent spirit that all of us have in terms of equality and treating people with a certain decorum and respect. But when it's only specifically fixated on your own team, it seems like it's a dichotomy in a sense.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we've all been indoctrinated to say, you do it for the team. Mm-hmm. You do it for the team. See, that's always reinforced because what it really is that you carry the perpetual, you carry the overall agenda, you carry the agenda of subjugation and enslavement. And then what we do is that we make every excuse because we say, well, that's not the way I think. I'm doing this for this here, here, and here. But we don't want to take the true, what we don't want to really scrutinize what our overall participation in this system is. Because then they tell you that there's no I in team. They're absolutely right. And that's how they're able to control, because you won't say, I will not participate. So So, TK, well said, brother. Please call back. Thank you for the stories. I will start posting them. And I greatly appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to actually meeting you in the future. We got another caller in queue. Hold on, TK. I believe it's Brother Davis or Sister Davis. Brother Davis or Sister Davis, what say you?
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Always good to hear the voice of a friend.
That becomes more and more meaningful as we approach times in which greed is the progenitor of all things that are happening. Right now, every country on the earth is in some sort of civil unrest. And it's not because of anything more than the perpetuation of greed. They can't put a meter for on it. They're going to fight for it. Why are they going to fight for it? Because they want to put a meter on it. We fail to realize that our most important asset is each other. And as long as we allow them to divide us, as long as we allow them to split hairs with our moral structure, they shake the foundation of each individual. But when you start focusing on yourself, truth, it makes no difference what happens around you. I mean, we've always said from the very beginning, not everybody's going to survive this. And those people who have no foundation and who are subject to every wind of doctrine are going to be the first victims. So we cannot be surprised at this. But remember what I told you about moving into the age of Aquarius.
Yes.
It's already in motion. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. I just want to add that.
Yes, Brother Davis, because and it because as a system, when people start to question it, the questioning is the biggest threat that they can never ever overcome. So what do they have to do? They have to calm and quiet that as soon as possible, because you're never going to hear on any mainstream media a solution to the system. The only thing you're going to hear in the mainstream media is the participation in the system. And the only thing that you're going to hear from the overall organized institutional structuring of the system is the participation in the system. Every institution on this planet will teach you to participate. It will never teach you to say no. Not in my best interest. It's not in our best interest. There's no prosperity there. There's no liberty there. There's no self-determination there. There's no respect.
Hey, Brother Dave, can I add, though?
Yes.
Although, and you're absolutely right, but the people will understand they have no choice but to say no. Because as long as they participate in the system, they perpetuate the action. When you stop participating in the system, of course there's going to be a cost. But you're going to ask yourself this: are you willing to pay the cost now, or do you want to pass that on to your children? And that's where we are, because literally what we don't do now falls in their lap. I just wanted to add that, brother. An excellent show.
Thank you so much, Brother David. So true. What we don't do now, we pass in their lap. We're slapping the baby. We're telling the baby to stop crying. The baby is in the overall building, the church, the overall structure of the demise. And that baby picks up that energy right away. And that baby picked up that energy because it was something that was threatening the spirit. And the baby did the only thing that it could do naturally, is that it was crying. At some point in some time, we got to stop slapping the baby. And then slapping the baby, then trying to kiss the baby, as if our intentions was other than to bring that child under our control. Very symbolic what happened there. It was really a reflection of how we live our lives collectively here. And I say that collectively, I'm not saying you do this, you do that, but if you really be honest, I know how many times I've been a fan. I'm still trying to break myself of that, because that addiction was so steep and so deep. and it became a part of my habitual pattern of life. Oh, but I know many won't admit that for themselves. They'll say, no, I was never a fan. Give me 2 minutes, I'll show you. 2 minutes, I'll get show you your fanaticism. Because that's all it took for me to find mine. And it was appalling how unintentionally I was deceived and then how intentional I was to maintain my deception. Real quick before we get out of here.
Hey, Dave, I do have a question. And
yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Listen, when it comes to participating in this evil system that is global, your participation is not required. These, let's just say the Aboriginal tribes of the Amazon, for example, as they keep having their land taken, they're not participating, but they having mm-hmm. everything taken from them. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say if you're not going to participate, that's not going to end the system. We're going to have to end, you're going to have to confront the system. And when I say the system, I know we use these words, but the system is made up of people. And so these people are going to have to be confronted, and they might have to have an end put to them to end the system. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to look at things as I understand the world to work. But I know, like, mm-hmm. especially in this country, most of its victims, especially in the early establishment of the United States, even before it became a corporation, those people that got murdered, they got victimized, they got their land stolen, wasn't participating either. So, but it, you know, that, yeah, I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm, you
no,
know.
I got, no,
yeah,
no, I got you, Scotty.
I'm just saying,
it,
man.
It really is really the truth of the matter. And
yeah,
when
evil,
I say the
evil
participation
is going to persist if, quote unquote, good people, and I don't, you know, really believe in that phrase, good people. Somebody tell me I'm a good man, you don't even know me. You know what I'm saying? You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm
right,
a good
right,
man.
Right,
I'm not.
Right, Scotty.
You
no,
know, I don't
you
look at myself
in
those
terms. What
I mean
by the participation, and
yeah.
I think it's very important, what Scotty pointed out is very important.
It don't require your participation. If you want it to end, what it's going to require is, like you said, stop with the fanaticism, which is nationalism, which is, you know, all the things you was talking about. I love what TK had to say and what have you, but you know, we gotta fight them, man. You gotta fight them. If you don't fight them, they just gonna run over you. That's what history has shown. Thanks for mm-hmm. giving me that time before you close
and
out.
Definitely, definitely. And me saying that the non-participation is the fight. And with the Amazonians, and those that were defrosted, those that were actually taking their overall area of living in deforestation in the Amazon, that was done by people that were complacent to the system and that were performing the overall objectives of
got
the system.
Got you, Dave. I understand it. That's why I had to ask questions. Because,
yeah, you're right.
You know, I'm very ashamed of my participation in the U.S. military in the Gulf War. If nobody would participate in fighting these wars, it wouldn't be none.
Right, Scotty, and that's my and my overall from being in the military, then going into law enforcement, it hit me. I said, "What the heck am I doing? Wait a minute." What is this? And the same person that's knocking down the tree, they're going to have to say, wait a minute, because it's a collective prudence. Collective prudence means that it's everyone realize the value of what's in the best interest. And until we stop looking at this system as providing something that we will be willing to compromise our morality for their overall debt payment of nothing, that means that the Amazonians want the problem,
It was the bulldoze driver that was the problem. Tell that the bulldoze driver has to say, you know what, you want this done, then let those that made the decision to do this, let them bring their butts down here and let them do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then I'm not going to protect them. And then what does that do to the system? Those cowards that make decisions from way back here won't have the overall gumption to face now. Is they are their numbers are in the minority. Now they're going to have to face the Amazonians, and they don't have the fortitude to do it. The system creates through the talents they put on their teams. Their starters are always the most talented ones. There's not one owner that sit in the box that can do what their starters can do. So what do the owners of the teams do? They send their starters out and use them for their agenda. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the fight. The fight is where we all collectively, and I'm talking about the bulldoze driver and everyone else, realize that this is not profitable. This is not sustainable. This is not moral. But how long is that going to take? I'm going to tell you, it's been so ingrained. But it's the only solution to this. It's the only solution to it. That's why it's the most difficult one. Solutions require an action, and that action ain't always easy, because the influence of this system is great. It took a long time to get people to desensitize themselves to life, to where they'll be selfish at thought. They got it now. We have to put in the same work, and more so, to change it, to get it back to the spirit of the law. I just want to say thank you all. TK that called in, Brother Davis that called in, Scotty that chimed in, all of you in the chat room that participated. I greatly appreciate y'all. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Hey, remember, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Great Creator willing, we'll talk again. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join.